start reading in Psalms 33. I got a lot of scripture, a lot of quotes tonight. So if you want to take notes, you're probably not going to be able to keep up. Psalms 33, I'm going to read verse 12. We're going to have that's going to kind of be our starting point. And I got a lot of scripture I'm going to throw at you tonight. We're going to do a Bible study on our founding fathers. You know, with our 250th birthday this past Sunday, and I was going to preach on this same passage of scripture. Just got to thinking about it today, and I thought, man, that'd make a pretty good Bible study as far as what our founding fathers actually believed. But Psalms 33, verse 12 says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the songs. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. Lord, as we open up your word, God, and we do a little teaching tonight, God, I pray, God, you'd help us, God, to take what's said, apply it to our hearts, God. Lord, help us to, we'll learn things tonight that we didn't learn in school, God. Lord, I pray, God, you just have your hand on our church family. Bless those that's teaching back there. Touch the students, and we'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The founding fathers were not all alike in their beliefs. You know, we all hear all the time, and yes, our nation was founded as a Christian nation. We were founded on the Word of God, but all the founding fathers wouldn't sold out Christians for what you and I would call sold out Christians. Most were dedicated Christians. Some were Christians, but they held to some kind of enlightenment beliefs, and some believed in God, but they rejected organized religion. So what we need to distinguish tonight is between history and fact in light of what the Bible says. Amen. Were they all good men? Yes. We've got good, you know, I thought about it as I was studying this, you know, everybody talks about, you know, our president. Everybody talks about, well, you know, he's not a Christian president. Well, name me one that actually was. You think about that. I mean, we talk about the presidents, and I didn't vote for him because I thought he was a Christian. I voted for him because I thought he was going to do the best job for our nation. Amen. That's why I voted for him, and I'm not ashamed to tell you I voted for him. Amen. I'm just saying, you know, everybody, well, he's not a Christian. Well, guess what? There ain't none of them the last 20 years been really what we would call a Christian. So our founding fathers was just kind of in the same way. But the Bible teaches us to honor those in authority while honoring God above all else. Amen. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7, says this: "Let every soul be subject unto higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, the revenger, to execute wrath on him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also of conscience' sake. For this cause pray ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to custom, fear to fear, and honor to whom honor." Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says this: "Then Peter and the other apostles answered, said, we ought to obey God rather than man." So we honor our leaders. We honor those in authority. Listen, let me go ahead and tell you something. There's been a few presidents over the last few years that I did not vote for. But I would still give them that honor because they were elected. I believe they still deserve that honor. I didn't vote for them, didn't like nothing they did. That's right. But I still believe we are to honor them. Psalms 127 verse 1 said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So let's look at just a few things tonight, okay? Number one, God establishes nations. Daniel chapter 2 verse 21 says this, and he changes the times and the season. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. America was founded through many historical events. We know about the Revolutionary War. We know about the Declaration of Independence. But make no mistake, God is the one that put this nation here. I believe all of it worked together. I believe when they first left England, they come and colonized the first 13 colonies. I believe they did it with a good intention. They did not leave England with the intentions on starting a brand new nation. But over time, I believe that God worked all that out. God is the one. God existed before we did. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, God's going to exist a long time after we all gone. Amen. I read this little story about the omnipotence of God. It said a young boy traveling by airplane to visit his grandparents sat beside a man who happened to be a seminary professor. The boy was reading a Sunday school take-home paper when the professor thought he'd have some fun with the lad. Young man said to the professor, if you can tell me something God can do, I'll give you a big shiny apple. The boy thought for a moment and replied, mistress, if you can tell me something God can't do, I'll give you a whole barrel of apples. Amen. God is the one that built this nation. God is the one that protects this nation. I believe that with all my heart. Thank God for all our military. Thank God for all those, you know, I'm as patriotic as anybody in here, amen. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, without God, we wouldn't be here. So God is the one that established nation. Number two, let's look at how the Bible influenced early America. Many of our laws came from the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. That's the dignity of every person. That's how our laws was made. Micah chapter 6 verse 8, he hath shown thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. That's how we got our justice system. Amen. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18 through 20 says this, judges and officers shall make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and thou shalt judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, and that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God doth give thee. That tells us we're supposed to have honest course. Now we know in the last few years some of that's been thrown out the window. We know from well, I'm trying not to get into too much politics. I'm trying to stick to my subject matter, amen. But we know that there's been a lot of gifts that's been given over the years that's blinded the court system and blinded the politicians. Where do we get thou shalt not kill? Exodus chapter 20 verse 13. Where do we get thou shalt not steal? Exodus chapter 20 verse 15. The Bible was the most commonly read book in the colonial times. The Bible was the book that was read. This is what was how our kids were taught in colonial times how to read. They were taught to read the Bible. Amen. Just about everybody had a Bible. Everybody didn't have a math book. Everybody didn't have a history book, and we didn't have no history back then. They was making it as they went. But they had a Bible. So let's look at some of the beliefs of some of our founding fathers. George Washington believed in divine providence. Now, these are some quotes by George Washington on providence, acknowledging the duties of a nation to obey a grateful for God. Acknowledging the duty of nations to obey and be grateful for God's protection. He gave that in a Thanksgiving proclamation in 1789 on morality, stating that national morality cannot exist without religious principles. He did that in his farewell address in 1796 on government, expressing that the governing of the world is impossible without God and the Bible. That's a direct quote from one of our first presidents on protection, offering prayers for divine protection over the countries. What about John Adams? John Adams believed that religion was essential to public morality. He said this, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." Amen. And I'm going to stop and do a little side note right there. A moral and religious people that was based on Christianity. It's not based on Islam. It's not based on Buddhism. It's not based on Catholic. It's based on the Word of God and Christianity. That's where the moral of our nation comes from. He believed that liberty required virtue. Patrick Henry said this. Patrick Henry was open about his Christian faith. You know his famous declaration, "Give me liberty or give me death." He also said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians." Amen. Amen. We were not founded by religion. We were founded on Christianity. That means to be Christ-like. The Bible is worth all other books which have ever been printed. Samuel Adams says this. Samuel Adams was a committed Christian. He said, "The right to freedom is a gift of God Almighty. The rights of the colonists as Christians may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institutes of the great lawgiver and head of the Christian church, which are to be founded, clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament." They were biblically based. John Jay, most people never heard of him. John Jay was the first Chief Justice of the United States. He wanted people to elect Christian leaders. That was one of his emphases. This is what he said about the Bible. "The Bible is best of all books, for it is the Word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and in the next." He also said on government, "Providence or God has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." That's why we've gotten off track in this country. That's why we've gotten off track as far as being a Christian nation, because people are electing all these other people from these other religions. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, folks, if we don't get back to the pole and we don't do what we're supposed to do, we're going to lose everything that our founding fathers ever fought for. Most every one of these founding fathers, most of them all generally agreed that if America was to ever fall, it would never fall from the outside, it would fall from the inside. And that's what happens when you elect Muslims. You can like it or not, I really don't care. Amen. That's what happens when you start electing.
Bless him, God. Bless him.
I'm trying to be good, y'all. Listen, when you start electing people that have no religious beliefs, come on. And I'm going to be honest with you. Most Democrats today have no idea about God. And I'm not pushing being a Republican. I'm pushing being a Christian.
Amen.
Living like you're supposed to, amen. Let me move on. Benjamin Franklin. I mean, well, we put Benjamin Franklin in high regard. Benjamin Franklin was not the Christian that you think he was. Was he a good man? Yes. Benjamin Franklin believed in God. He believed in providence. He respected Christianity, but he didn't believe every doctrine. On God's providence, this is what he said. "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall into the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire can rise without his aid." In other words, God had his hand on America.
Right.
On serving God, this is what he said. "Serving God is doing good to men, but praying is all an easier service." In other words, Benjamin Franklin had this idea that serving God was just doing good to people. See, everybody in our founding fathers were not what you and I think Christians are supposed to be.
Amen.
Does that mean they weren't good men? No. How about Thomas Jefferson? We all put Thomas Jefferson up there, and Thomas Jefferson was a great man. Thomas Jefferson was one of our great founding fathers. He admired Jesus and his teaching, but questioned the miracles and even rejected some of the Christian doctrines. Thomas Jefferson went so far, and I read about this, that he came with the Jefferson Bible. In other words, he stuck with Jesus' moral teachings, but he took out all the miracles. Let me go and tell you something. Jesus is, was, and always will be the Son of God. Jesus is, was, and always will be God. Jesus is, was, and can always still do miracles. Amen. I believe every miracle in the Bible. I believe that he healed the blind. I believe that he healed the lame. I believe that he raised Lazarus from the dead. I believe that he raised a widow of Nain. I believe that he got out of that tomb on the third day. Amen. I believe he's all God. See, this reminds us that just admiring Jesus is not the same as serving Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a big difference in, I remember doing this one time. It's been several years ago, and I remember putting a picture of John Wayne on the screen. And I said something to the effect, how many of y'all know who that was? Everybody raised their hand. Everybody knows who John Wayne is. If you don't know who John Wayne is, there's something wrong with you. But how many do you think in here that John Wayne knew? See, everybody knows about Jesus. That's right. But Jesus ain't everybody's God. That's right. So he's either your God or he's not. I don't just admire Jesus. I serve Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So let's look at some of our religious freedom. When they founded this country, it was founded on religious freedoms. In other words, they didn't want the government telling them how they were supposed to worship. And that's what happened over in England. The government was starting to get in and starting to try to push the government religion on people, and that's what they didn't want. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. It basically says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
So that's how our religious freedom. James Madison said this, the religion then of every man must be left to the conviction and conscience of every man, and it is the right of every man to exercise it as these may dictate. But it's remember now, it's talking about Christianity. When I talk about religion and when I talk about religion as far as our founding fathers, it's talking about Christianity. It's talking about being able to worship Christ any way we want to. It's not talking about Islam. It's not talking, none of that was even a thought in our founding fathers' head. It's all about Christianity. Let's look at some of the biblical principles that our founding fathers valued. Our founding fathers valued personal responsibility. In other words, be your own man or your own woman and do your part. Y'all, how many of y'all do know that the welfare system was supposed to be temporary? That was something that Franklin Roosevelt came up with at the end of the Great Depression. It was supposed to be just a temporary thing, and the Democrats got in it and just stretched it as far. Well, you see how long they stretched it. It's still going on now. That's the problem. People aren't doing their part. People are living off the government now. It was never intended for that. Our founding fathers never intended for any of that to go on like that. Do your own part. Work and do what you're supposed to be. Honesty was one of the things our founding fathers valued. Honesty. What do you think they'd have done to some of these politicians in the early 1800s? They'd have had some public hangings. Amen. Tarred and feathers and shot. honesty. And everything I'm talking about comes from the Bible. They valued hard work. Back in the day, none of our politicians were career politicians. None of them were career politicians. Benjamin Franklin said this about work: diligence is the mother of good luck. Good luck. This means that working hard and being careful helps you to find more good chances in life. And Benjamin Franklin said this: work as if you were to live 100 years. Pray as if you were to die tomorrow. In other words, work. They valued hard work. He also said, speak little, do much. Amen. That's what's wrong with America now. Thomas Jefferson said this: I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it. Amen. They value this. They believed in justice. They believe in doing what's right. See, we've gotten away from that. The problem is we've got too much corruption in the government and too much corruption in the court system to do what's right. If you got enough money, you can about get away with anything now. Or if your name's Clinton, you can about get away with anything. I just thought I'd throw that one in there, amen. They believed in family. Now, I found this quote from George Washington, kind of funny. But George Washington said this: I have always considered marriage as the most interesting event of one's life, the foundation of happiness or misery. But all of our family fathers believed in family. They valued family. You get on the internet and you start looking up quotes from our founding fathers, you can find all kind of quotes about family, how they valued their family, and how they missed their family when they was away doing the work to start this country, and how they wanted to get back to their family. Amen. They valued that. Now, let me ask you a question. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. Some of our founding fathers actually owned slaves. Some of our founding fathers had theological errors that we've already talked about. Some of them just about come to knock down, drag out fights because they disagreed with each other. You know, there have been several times in Congress where they actually had fist fights and people got knocked out in Congress. A couple of times, if I'm not mistaken, over the years, they were actually almost to the point of dueling because they disagreed with each other. Kind of funny little story, how they disagreed with each other when they were trying to come up with a national bird. Benjamin Franklin wanted it to be the turkey. How stupid would we have looked as a turkey as our national bird? I'm glad somebody knocked that one out, amen? But you got to understand something. The Bible never says we're supposed to be perfect. I was listening to a preacher today. And this preacher said something. He said, I was talking to a man a few years ago, and said, the man said, it's been 11 years since I sinned. He said, I thought, yeah, you living in it right now. Much better than calm. Let me tell you something, folks. If the Bible don't present people as being perfect, and the Bible, I mean, we study the Bible. Abraham, I went through the New Testament. I'm going back into Genesis now to go through the Old Testament. And I'm sitting there thinking, Abraham and Sarah were liars. And then you get Isaac was these jokers took lying to a new level. They were liars. They were nowhere near perfect people. So why, you know, yes, our founding fathers were great men. Were they perfect? No. The thing about it is, you ain't going to be perfect either. You can do the best you can, and I'm just telling you, you know, a lot of times we come in and we have these real nice funerals and we say all this nice stuff because we don't want to bring up the bad stuff somebody did. But don't you ever forget, if it ever comes to the point where somebody's doing my funeral in this church, don't you just let them stand up here and just brag and brag and brag about how good I was, because they're going to be lying to you. So what does this teach us? Number one, we need to pray for our leaders. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually prayed for your leaders? And I'm not talking about your pastor now. I think you ought to pray for your pastor and your deacon board. We ought to. When's the last time you prayed for your president? When's the last time you prayed for your Congress? The Bible teaches us to do that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says this, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You're supposed to pray for our... Amen. Listen, when Biden was president, I prayed for him. I prayed for Obama. Didn't do no good, but I did. We're supposed to, folks. It didn't say pray for your good presidents, pray for the one you voted for. It says pray for all that are in authority. We're to live right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God, your Father, which is in heaven. We're supposed to defend the truth. Amen. If our founding fathers, and most of them, listen, I didn't get into too much of this. Most of our founding fathers went bankrupt, lost everything they had to build this nation. Most of them died as paupers, having nothing like they had before they started. So if they're going to defend the truth and they're going to do what they're supposed to do, you and I are supposed to do what we're supposed to do. The Bible tells us in Jude verse 3, Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you for the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You and I need to stand up. Not only do we need to stand up and vote the way we're supposed to be, if you're here tonight and you're not a registered voter, there's something wrong with you. If you're here, if you're listening to me on Facebook or YouTube and you're not registered to vote, there's something wrong with you. Amen. In other words, you say, well, I just don't vote. That means you voting for the other side. Right. We're supposed to defend the truth. We're supposed to defend this nation. We're supposed to defend our faith. We're supposed to stand up for what's right, folks. Right. We're to vote for biblical principles. I was listening to this black preacher the other day, and I'm telling you, he was firing down. He said, I cannot stand with a party that kills babies. Amen. I said, amen. Right. I cannot stand with a party that says it's all right for little boys to go in little girls' bathroom. I said, amen. Right. How in the world... I've said it before, and I'm going to go ahead and say it tonight. I done got myself in trouble tonight anyhow, so it don't matter. You can't be a card-carrying Democrat and be a Christian. Amen. Yes, sir. You cannot be a card-carrying Democrat and be a Christian. Just a few years ago, I would say you could. Because a few years ago, they wasn't all crazy. Amen. Listen here, when it goes against the Bible, the problem with what's going on in America right now is you got these same idiots that's in charge of the Democratic Party that 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, they were saying the same thing Trump's saying now, and now they've changed their mind, they've flip-flopped, and now they're just as crazy as they can be. Our founding fathers wanted us to vote for what's right. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. And lastly, you need to think about this. You need to remember you're a citizen of the United States of America. Amen. But most of all, you're a citizen of heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, when I And to me, that runs hand in hand. We need to quit worrying about who we put in politics that's going to better your pocketbook. You need to start worrying about who we put in politics that's going to better your children. Who you going to put in and make America the best country that it absolutely can be. See, that's where you and I have a say-so in it. Because when we get to heaven, you ain't got no say-so in it, amen? Go ahead, let me go ahead and tell y'all something. Heaven is a dictatorship. Amen? It's God's way or you ain't going. Amen? And thank God. I'm glad I live in a free country. I'm glad we live in a country where we get to vote and live free. But I'm glad I'm going to a country where God's in charge, amen? I'm glad I'm going to a country where there ain't going to be no death, there ain't going to be no sin, there ain't going to be no sorrow, amen? Because God's in charge. And if we'll let God back in charge of America, hey, we can be the greatest nation on earth forever.
Amen.
Folks, I love you. And I'm challenging you right now. Do what's right. Do what's right. Pray about every situation and do what's right. My always saying, I've always said this, if we'll do what's right, God will take care of the rest of it. Amen. I love you. Thank you.